Hi there, many thanks for joining us on the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. Just one tournament this week. It's the European Masters at Cron-sur-Sierre as the final scramble for places on Luke Donald's Ryder Cup playing to Italy intensifies, indeed reaches its final act. Next Monday, Donald will name his team and we'll know who's in and who's out. Before we look ahead to see who's going to dominate in the Alps, let's reflect on last week. And Victor Hovland went into the Tour Championship on a high, having won the BMW the week before, and he maintained that incredible surge to win the Tour Championship at Eastlake by 5 shots from Xander Schauffele. Interesting, actually, Steve, because that was the amount of shots he was giving Xander Schauffele at the start. So sort of dead heat on the stroke play, but the money, the fortunes went to Victor Hovland, and what a couple of weeks he's had. His bank manager will be happy.
What a player, what a man. Yeah, what a young man. Yeah, what a cool dude. He's the second youngest player in that field. Only Tom Kim, younger than him in that Tour Championship lineup. But, you know, Hovland is an old head on young shoulders, isn't he? Because it wasn't over that earlier. The lead dwindled to 3 shots. I don't know if you were tuned in on Sunday night. Xander Schauffele got the lead down to 3 shots. And, you know, a lot of players might have twitched in that scenario. But Hovland just steadied himself, kicked for the line, and as you say, won by 5 shots. So yeah, he was a 5-1 winner for the Tour Championship and a 12-1 winner in that market. Well, 12-1 dead heat winner in the without the starting handicaps market. So yeah.
What I really liked about the tournament, Steve, was that although sometimes with this one, the guys who get the big start just go on and dominate and make full advantage. But by halfway, you virtually had forgotten that it was a handicap because it had a really open look to it, didn't it? And, you know, there's a lot of people had forced their way up there. I mean, that was mainly obviously due to Scotty Scheffler's continuing ineptitude with the flat stick and an unfortunate turn of events with your fancy Rory. I don't suppose you were the happiest person in Weymouth on Thursday when you saw him lumbering onto the first tee.
No, that was a tough moment when I saw him swinging with the power of Bruce Millington. I mean, I literally think you might have been able to outdrive him on day one. He was just chipping the drives down the fairway. And it was horrifying, wasn't it? Particularly when you found out when the injury started. The injury started on the Monday when he was throwing Poppy into the swimming pool, you know, the family swimming pool. You know, not a problem many of us have, but McIlroy was throwing Poppy into the family swimming pool at McIlroy Towers, and he injured himself then. And he thought it would clear up by the time he got to the course. And then it was still there on the Wednesday when he got to the course. And he had his media conference on the Wednesday, and he didn't mention anything about the injury. And I think we have got to be a bit cheesed off about that.
Because
what was mentioned in the media conference was the sort of lack of respect that some punters are having with players. Did you follow the Max Homer story?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And John Rahm picked up on it, didn't he? He said every week there's people shouting stuff and they've had a bet. And that really does anger me so much. If you're a punter and you know, we've had to learn to live with the ups and downs of golf punting, you don't go there and start heckling, oh, I backed you and you missed your putt, you suck, and all that.
Yeah.
Grow up, you pathetic losers. Don't bet if you can't stand losing.
Absolutely. It's a hot topic. This is a hot topic, and all the players are being asked about it. And yeah, obviously the punters have to show the players respect. They can't be trying to distract the players. I mean, the Max Homer one, the fella had $3 on Max Homer to miss the putt and start making a song and dance about it. But he was ejected from the BMW Championship, rightly so. And yeah, they are going to have to come down hard and all this. But yeah, that punter to player respect, which we're looking for, has to go the other way as well, doesn't it? We're all in bed together now, and the players have to show the punters some respect.
No,
by informing us of their injuries, Bruce. You know, there was no reason for McIlroy not to mention that injury. And you know, gambling's taking off in America now. And as I say, I think we're all in bed together. We show the players respect. The players have to show the punters some respect. I feel quite strongly about this.
I'm not so sure about that. I think they've got quite enough to worry about. But I just don't see why you wouldn't say you've got a bit of a back problem.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you if you're standing up there and, you know, telling people what the latest state of play is and how you are and how your game is? Well, you know, if you've got a crippling back problem, it's not just about telling punts, it's just about telling people, isn't it? But
yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a half an hour media conference. the amount of tosh that they cover in those media conferences, right. By far the most interesting and important thing he could have talked about is the fact that he was, disabled for the opening round. And I know he got progressively better, but it was too late, wasn't he? He was brilliant on Sunday. He shot 65 on the Sunday when he was swinging like Rory McIlroy again, but it was too late by then. But I just feel like we need a little bit of more communication, because the PGA Tour making a big deal about gambling. They've got all sorts of features popping up here, there and everywhere. Gambling stateside is going to be huge. So it needs the players to be more open about injuries, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they've got enough on their plate. But yeah, it was certainly unfortunate. But fair play to Hovland. He goes into the Ryder Cup in fantastic heart. Just a quick word on Scheffler, because he must be absolutely the end of his tether, mustn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you sort of forgot about the starting grid, didn't you? Very, very quickly, because the fella in pole position played so badly. I mean, we backed Tommy Fleetwood last week, didn't we, at 60-1. Tommy Fleetwood ended up tied with the 6-4 favourite, Scotty Scheffler, but still no good to us because there was only 5 each-way places. But Scheffler is said you won't see him for a while now. You won't. I have no idea. He might only play the Hero World Challenge from here to the end of the year. I think he's just, well, Ryder Cup, of course. Ryder Cup and Hero World Challenge, I think, will be his schedule. I can't see him playing anything else. He's just completely disenchanted with the game, isn't he? And you can understand it. If you spend your whole life peppering pins all year, he's just been dancing around the pin, isn't he? But he can't get the ball in the hole. And, really encouraging for the likes of us, isn't it, to see the best player in the world three putting from 6 feet. He three putted from 6 feet on Sunday. He had a four putt on one green. I find it quite heartwarming that the best player in the world can't get the ball in the hole.
But conversely, while his putting is obviously the problem, you'd probably have to say that tee to green, he's produced one of the greatest years of golf you've ever seen, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's Tiger Woods-esque. The tee to green stats are amazing, but I can't help feeling that it's been a wasted season for Scheffler. And next year, he's not going to play like that from tee to green. I feel he's going to, I just feel he might have lost a bit of his love for the game in the last few months. So I could see Scheffler starting next year quite poorly. And
well, you never know. We don't call him Scotty the Crocus Scheffler for nothing. He blooms in spring, so maybe he'll do that again. So 5-1 winner Hovland in America, 400-1 winner in the Czech Republic, or Czechia, as we should call it these days, in the Czech Masters. Todd Clements, of all people, 26-year-old Englishman. And he didn't just win one of those Mickey Mouse DP World Tour events. The Czech Masters had some elite operators at that level, didn't it? And a fair old win. He beat Matt Wallace by one. Nikolai Højgaard, your man, just couldn't get a blow. Tell us all about Todd Clements. How much about him?
Well, very little. I mean, he's a 27-year-old. I mean, he's transformed his career. He's 400-1 last week. Nobody expected anything from him last week. And final round 63, 6 under par for the front nine. It was heartbreaking to see how quickly things changed. I was quietly confident that Nikolai Højgaard was going to win on Sunday. But the world number 394 has scuppered that. He had one top 20 finish on the DP World Tour in his entire career before Sunday's heroics. That was in the 2020 Open de Portugal. So, we're all a bit shocked. And, one for the bookmakers for sure.
It must be so hard for you, Steve. I mean, you spend so much time and effort learning about all the players and doing your previews and whittling down a shortlist. And then someone like Todd Clements comes on. I mean, there isn't a way you can tip him, is there? Not denigrating him. I mean, he's a fair play. It's a fantastic win. But you cannot have him on your mind before an event.
No. You're right. It is completely demoralising. I was at a barbecue on Sunday and, Mark, my friends were trying to sort of say, like, well, how'd you get him then? And I was just like, there is no way of getting him. No, there is no way of getting him.
Just, there isn't.
They're going like, your job's impossible, isn't it? And I was just like, Yeah, pretty much. Yes, at times it does feel impossible.
Did you bring the mood of the barbecue down, or did you did you manage to stay reasonably socially buoyant?
No, I think I did bring the mood of the barbecue down a little bit, because I expected Nikolai Højgaard to win. And he just putted so poorly. Every single day, Nikolai Højgaard missed short putts. If they were giving out the trophy for tee to green ability, then he would have won that. He would have thrown the towel in.
So you said you were quietly confident. It sounds like you're actually noisily confident at this barbecue. Yeah,
Yeah. And then obviously the lady folk didn't want to have the golf on in the lounge there. And it can be an antisocial business, can't it? Golf betting. It goes on for so long, doesn't it?
You can imagine someone, one of the guests' wives saying, "Oh God, what'd you do at the weekend, Lauren? Oh, I went to this barbecue. It was all right, but this bloke watching the golf. He was insisting watching the golf and cheering on some bloke called Nikolai Hogarth. And then when he didn't win, he was really grumpy. Honestly, it was ruined the whole thing. You didn't do that, did you?
People have got used to it. If they invite me to anything, they must realise that I might have an eye on the golf tournament that's happening. But no, we live and learn. We live and learn. And Ludwig Åberg, do you want to discuss Ludwig Åberg? Mm. I think we should.
It because I've got nothing to ask, but I can listen to what you've got to say about him.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, Hogarth and Åberg, without disrespecting Todd Clements, I mean, they're different gravy to Todd. Nicola Hogarth, we must have a Ryder Cup conversation, I think.
Yeah, we are going to.
Are you comfortable with that? You're comfortable.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
So we'll have one of them later. Because it's not just the American Ryder Cup team is finalised today. They get the wild cards are out today.
It can't be. I mean, I'm going to say there's no real point preempting it because by the time people listen to this, that we'll know. But there's talk that Justin Thomas is a lock for this team. You can't pick someone who's playing that badly, can you? Particularly on the greens. I mean, we're talking about Scheffler putting badly, but you know, when it comes down to clutch putts, that's what the Ryder Cup's all about sometimes, isn't it? And would you take him?
I think that is probably the most interesting conversation as part of the Ryder Cup conversation is the Justin Thomas one. Are we having the conversation now?
Yeah.
I think that's the toughest decision on both sides, really, whether to take Justin Thomas. I think it's between Justin Thomas and Sam Burns. And I think it'll be who's bending Zach Johnson's ear the most because he will be listening to the players. And Jordan Spieth will obviously want Justin Thomas.
Yeah. And Xander likes him, doesn't he? They're all buddies, aren't they?
Yeah. Justin Thomas, very popular in the team room. So if Spieth is bending Zach Johnson's ear, then Justin Thomas will get the nod. But then, of course, Scottie Scheffler, great friends with Sam Burns, and he'll want Sam Burns on the team. So who's bending Zach Johnson's ear the furthest? Mm. Will it be Scottie or will it be Jordan Spieth? But I think the rest of the team sort of picks itself on the American side. Yeah, you've got your Koepka's going to play, Spieth, Morikawa, Fowler, I think, will be back. And then Cameron Young is very popular with Zach Johnson. I think he'll be playing as well. So I think the only discussion there is Thomas or Burns.
And is there anyone else who would be hard done by to be left out? I mean, I'm not entirely sure, for instance, that
there's going to be some tears from Keegan Bradley, isn't there? Keegan Bradley's going to, hopefully he doesn't get too worked up and make some poor comments. There's going to be angry people all over the show, isn't there? But it's a time for dignity.
Absolutely. And on the European side, and by the way, latest betting 4-6 USA, 6-4 Europe, 12-1 the tie. In terms of Europe, have you formulated any fresh thoughts on who you think will be in and who won't?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've got one more week to go, haven't we? And all eyes are on Bobby McIntyre, as you like to call him. Everyone calls him that. Seeing whether he can hold on. If he holds on to his third spot in the European points list, then. And then the other one, of course, is Fitzpatrick. You know, Matt Fitzpatrick's playing this week, so he's trying to get an automatic spot, which will knock Tommy Fleetwood out of the world points list.
But they'll both get wild cards. I don't know why Fitzpatrick's bothering. I mean, he can't not be in it, can he?
No. I think he just loves the golf tournament. He's a 2-time winner here. I think he's just coming for trophy rather than Ryder Cup. Yeah, they'll both be in it. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Who's the most obscure name who'll be in it? Do you think? Yannick Paul.
I don't think Yannick Paul's got any hope of getting a wild card pick, so he needs to qualify this week. There's five players who can catch Bobby McIntyre and take McIntyre out of the team. But I suspect McIntyre will hold on to that. I think Luke Donald will go with Adrian Maronk and Nikolai Hogarth, who are both course winners at the Marco Simone. So if McIntyre qualifies, you'll have the last three winners at the Marco Simone in the team. I think that would be a significant thing to be able to say, you know, that'll give you a huge course edge over, you know, going to a track where the Americans, have not seen it. So I'm hoping that he goes for that policy because I think Adrian Maronk deserves to be on the team. I think Nikolai Hogarth is better than many people realise and have the course winners on the team. And then I think he'll get his experience from Rose, the fine young man, Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, and Fitzpatrick or Fleet, which whichever one doesn't qualify. Yeah. And then Aberg is the wildest wild card. So I expect to see Aberg picked as well. So
you're getting very excited about it. I haven't known you this animate. You normally like you shut down all conversation about the Ryder Cup until 2 days before. So
yeah, a month away now. We're a month away, and
yeah, because we got the Solheim Cup the week before as well, haven't we? And that's closer. I think Europe at 10-11, USA 11-10 for that. So two incredible weeks coming up. That'll be really good, won't it?
Yeah. We have to have Ryder Cup conversations when there's only one golf tournament, don't we?
Well, let's do that golf tournament. It's the Omega European Masters at beautiful Cron-sur-Sierre. And as Steve said, Matt Fitzpatrick is playing, not just playing, he's favourite. Here are some indicative prices. Fitzpatrick currently 8-1. Ludvig Åberg is 16s. Adrian Mronk and Nikolai Høggard 18. Alexander Bjork and Matt Wallace are 22. Bobby McIntyre 25. Antoine Rosner 28. Jordan Smith 30. Rasmus Høggard 30. Adrian Dumont de Chassard 33. Yannick Paul 33. And it's 35 bar. So it's that beautiful course up in the mountains. Tell us more.
Clansurthiar Golf Club, Crans-Montana, Switzerland, 6,808 yards, par 70, only three par fives. There's been a tour event staged at Crans every year since 1972, apart from 2020 COVID cancellation. There was a redesign of this track in 1999 by Theribald Thieroth. He made it tougher, created lots of runoff areas around the greens. We've got the sixth and the seventh, fascinating golf holes. Love watching them. Drivable par fours, but obviously tight tree-lined track this. So it's not often you get a drivable par four. There's so much danger around. So if you fancy taking the risk, have a blast there. Undulating fairways as well. Greens are small, unreceptive. It's a short, fiddly assignment, this. You want accuracy from tee to green, course management. You know, look at the honours board. Loads of tidy operators on the honours board. You know, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Thomas Bjorn is a two-time champion. Richie Ramsey, Matt Fitzpatrick, two-time champion. That's the sort of guys you want to be following. Sunny and calm all week.
How many runners?
156.
Okay. I'm talking to COVID. How are you?
Dramatic pause.
How did that progress, your COVID?
I tell you what, I don't like to sound like a wimpy boy, but it's taking me I'm still not over it entirely. Yeah,
really?
Fly tracking you. You could be in big trouble if there's something contained within that fly.
Seems a fairly passive insect, so I'm not concerned at this stage. I'm not going to start gesticulating while you're trying to talk.
No. You've got to be careful. What's your policy on wasps? Sorry, we've only got one golf tour. We can discuss. I got my wife's best friend's mum got an astonishing policy where she talks to them, and I was exposed to it the other day, and she talks calmly and enthusiastically.
Oh, really?
To the wasp.
What sort of thing would she say?
She would say, "Oh, hello there, Mr. Wasp. would you mind leaving us alone today? Because we don't really fancy getting stung today."
Oh,
and it's incredible.
She gets
scenes.
Stung on the eyelids.
She claims she's never been stung. And to be fair, these wasps did seem to respond to her. Maybe she's got some special supernatural powers or something. But
wow.
I normally do the opposite. It's
flailing. Flailing away, as if there's a fire. Yeah.
Yes. And I've been stung many times.
Horse whisperers, but never a wasp whisperer. That's interesting.
I'll introduce you to, if you wish.
I start off staying calm, and they do tend to bugger off at that point. But if they continue to plague me, I then just like swear at them, and then we'll start giving it.
I swatted one into between my toes once. One of the worst decisions. I went like that, and it went straight in between my toes and stung me. But it's a dangerous world, isn't it?
It certainly is. Right then, how many selections?
I have got five selections for this one golf tournament of the week situation.
Okay. Who is the most likely winner, do you think, of the Omega European Masters?
I think it's Antoine Rosner, who can be backed at 33-1 as we live and breathe. Yeah, he fits the bill for Cran-Thurthier. Relentlessly accurate from tee to green. Strong ball striker. He fell in love with this place on his Crans debut in 2021. He closed with a round of 62 to finish 13th. Then on his return last year, he finished 4th. And again, it was a late gallop. He had 65, 64, 66 after a slow start. I think this time, now he's got that bank of course experience, it's reasonable to expect him to be quicker from starting gate. So 13th and 4th with slow starts. This time, I think he's going to be in on the leaderboard throughout because he's playing nicely. I'd be proud of the way he played in the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool, finished 20th there, returned to action last week, 22nd in the Czech Masters. Yeah, I think Rosner comes with a tee to green guarantee this week. It's just whether we can get some putts out of him and then he take the trophy. We've got courage. Don't worry about Rosner with courage. He's a three-time DP World Tour champion. He was a rookie in 2020, so he's got those trophies quite quickly. He was a two-time winner on the Challenge Tour too. So, yeah, Antoine Rosner, rock solid each-way investment.
Does a win get him into the Ryder Cup picture, or is it all too late?
No. I think that my two main tips this week have been on the fringes of the conversation, as we like to call it. And even if they won, I don't think it'd be enough.
Oh, right. I should be able to work out the other one then. Let's have a look.
Yeah. I mean, that it's certainly not enough to qualify automatically. And yeah, I think they've left it too little too late. I mean, we're not actually going to get a Frenchman on the team. I know you like to travel to France occasionally for a holiday, and you're going to have some disappointed people around you because we're not going to get any Frenchmen on the team.
I reckon you're going for Alexander Bjork then. Am I right?
I reckon you're absolutely right. Yeah. And
tell us why.
I will pat you firmly on the back for that next time I see you. Well, he's enjoying one of the most consistent
campaigns.
When
am I going to see you? Are you fit to play golf, by the way, or are you still got gout?
I've got lots of issues with my toes, but I mean, I could battle through the pain barrier taking loads of pills. I'm happy to take loads of pills for that. I mean,
you have to line up your day of golf about 3 months in advance.
Don't you? Yeah, I do.
Due to complex childcare situation.
Yes, but the my son starts school next week.
They grow up so quickly, don't they?
Yeah. So that'll free up a little bit of time.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, yeah. I'll pat you on the back for guessing Alexander Bjork at 25-1. I'd say one of the most consistent campaigns of his career. Probably is the most consistent campaign of his career. 11 top 20s, 7 top 10s, 4 top 5s. He was runner-up in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship in February. Still only got one win to his name on the DP World Tour, the 2018 China Open. But in terms of who's the most likely to feature on the leaderboard this week, I think you could easily make a case for that being Bjork. I think he's a surefire contender. Yeah, so have an each-way bet. Take your chance that he can deliver an overdue second trophy. You know, Cran's ideal lack of length is the only weakness that Bjork has. Not a serious handicap at Cran's. He's accurate, great scrambler, magnificent putter. He was 16th on his debut in 2017 as a rookie maiden. In 2018, he had form figures of miscut, 48 miscut, miscut when he arrived at this golf tournament, but opened with a rock solid 69, got overnight food poisoning at a withdrawal. Subsequent Cran's results, 28, 13, 16. So rock solid record. Last week, he's on a wholly unsuitable layout in Prague. Yeah, they're chalk and cheese, these two courses from last week to this. But he still had three good rounds and finished 14th in the tournament. So, yeah, each way nice bet, Rosner, Bjork, you won't be failing.
Okay. What's that gesture?
I don't know. I just fancy. I think I'm just saying, go on, sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah. Right then, who's the third tip?
Marcus Kinholt, 66-1. There have been six Swedish winners at Kranthirthier. I'll have Bjork and Kinholt on my team to bolster that statistic. Kinholt also stuck on just one DP World Tour title, but he's 6 years younger. He's had some health issues which sidelined him for a bit, so lots of good excuses for Kinholt. I think he'll add to his trophy cabinet soon enough. Cran's great opportunity. Yeah, another neat and tidy golfer, efficient on around the greens. He was 10th on his Cran's debut in 2015. He's only 27 now, so you do the math and the ticks on how old he was. He's 27 now, and
he's only 27.
Yeah, he's the baby-faced assassin, wasn't he? He came onto the scene. He literally looked like a baby, and still does in many ways. But yeah, he was 19, I believe. I didn't want to put you under pressure with the math. He was 19.
No, I did get that. 19,
Cran's debut. His full Cran's results: 10, 56, 12, 47, 23. Solid, and his form figures from his last three starts equally solid: 14th, 20th, 12th. Two of those results came in the States, Barbasol Championship, Barracuda. So Kinholt, fit and firing again, great bet.
Jolly good. Next up,
another 66-1 chance as we live and breathe: Ewan Ferguson. who started the year on the Ryder Cup radar. He played in the Hero Cup for GB and I think the Ryder Cup dreams faded away for now, but we shouldn't forget how good he is. I think this fella is pure class. His swing is beautiful. He's typically very accurate with a textbook swing. He's a two-time DP World Tour champion. He's only 27, and he's played loads of great golf in the last 6 months. He was third in the STC Championship, fourth in the Johnson Workwear, eighth in the KLM Open, fourth in the British Masters, 12th in the Scottish Open. No disgrace in missing the cut in the Open on his major debut. He was playing practice rounds with Ricky Fowler. It was a very intense week for Ferguson. This week in this grade, well capable of being a big player. He missed the cut at Crans last year on his debut by shot. Now he knows the course. I fancy Ferguson to play really well.
Nice one. And who's our fifth tip?
It is a fella that opened up at 500 to one this week. There's a couple of shrewdies that have taken the 500 to one. He's 400 to one now. Another Glasgow Rangers fan. Ewan Ferguson is a big Glasgow Rangers fan. We've got another one here, and it's Mark Warren. I think it's going to be a big week for Gers fans. I couldn't believe what I was seeing when I saw the 500 to one. I mean, this is a class act on his day. He's a four-time DP World Tour champion. The last of those victories came across the Swiss border in the Austrian Open. Warren's last Challenge Tour win came in Switzerland in the Rolex Trophy, maybe at the age of 42. Still a young man in relative terms. Yeah, Mark Warren at 42, still got loads of ability and loads of Crans experience to draw upon. I mean, this is a quirky track. You need to learn Cran Thurthiar. Mark Warren has. He made his debut in 2002, and then he finished fourth in his second appearance in 2006. He was ninth in 2010. That was his best result of the whole year. He was 13th in 2014, and there's just been little hints lately that the old Mark Warren is back. His last three regulation DP World Tour starts, fourth in the Made in Himmerland, 20th in the ISPS Handa World Invitational, and last week, 31st, in the Czech Masters, closed with a 67. So there's no way he's a 500 to one chance in this grade. It's a very exciting bet.
Wow. I love that. Really? Yeah, that's it.
Better with a bet on, isn't
you can't
it?
Really sort of abbreviate bet, can you?
It's better with a bet on. Come on, let's campaign for betting. Under fire betting.
It is under fire, isn't it? I tweeted yesterday that I was reading in the Times. It said that one in three people want gambling banned. I mean, come on. If you don't like bet, if you don't bet, don't bet. No one's forcing you. No one with a William Hill tabard is getting you out of bed with a gun and saying, come on, get down to our betting shop and have a bet. You don't have to have a bet, but don't stop our fun, all right? Yes, there are some problem gamblers and we need to do everything that we can to protect them, but we are doing that now. You know, vulnerable gamblers have never had more help and more messaging about the dangers of it, so please just let those of us who like to have a bet just get on with it, okay? Because we're sick of it, aren't we?
We're absolutely sick. You don't need to ban everything you don't like, is it? Exactly. That seems to be the way the world's going now. If the powers that be don't like something, we'll ban that, we'll ban this, we'll cancel this, we'll cancel that. You know, just give people freedom to do what they ruddy well want. We're all grown adults, aren't we?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Good. I'm glad we got that off our chests. Let's talk about Matt Fitzpatrick. I must admit, Steve, when I looked at the first show and saw that he was running about 17 to 2, I thought, well, that's 8.5 to 1. If you played this tournament 8 times, I'd fancy Fitzpatrick to win one of them. So tell me why I shouldn't be backing him.
He's had a long time on the road stateside, hasn't he? Yeah, you know, he played in all the FedEx Cup playoff events and, you know, long trek over from Georgia. And as you very well say, he knows he's on the Ryder Cup team. So I just think, I think motivation, you know, he might be a bit lethargic at the start. And I just don't want any negatives. And he was very wild last week with his irons. You know, he was spraying his irons all over the
was
place
he?
At the
oh,
championship. Yeah. I can easily resist him at single figure odds.
Okay, mate. Yeah, jolly good. Yeah. Anyone else you want to discuss? Or anything you want to discuss?
Well, there's two of my favourite players are playing, obviously, you know, Nicolai Hogar and Ludvig Abo. They're both playing, but I just don't think this is the track for them. You know, it's all about precision, course management and patience. Neither of those guys yeah, these are young bucks, you know, young bucks. I prefer grinders. Let's get the grinders on board this
okay
week.
And Steve, just talking about courses, obviously, you know, not everybody will be absolutely completely au fait with the vagaries of Marco Simone. What sort of a player does that suit? Because and there's water over the rough. I saw a video of the ball disappearing into what didn't look that deep rough last week. So are we talking tight accurate, or is it, do you need a bit of power as well?
Well, all the talk is that the European Tour bigwigs are going to tighten it up and anti-American it. I never really understand when they talk about this, because it's not like the Europeans are, you know, a load of Richard Blands. You know, we're not we've got some quite handy hitters ourselves. You know, if they're anti-American in it, that's a handful. That's a gobble full. And yeah, Rory McIlroy won't like that, will he? Victor Hovland won't like that. I mean, yeah. Big Johnny Rahm won't like that. There's lots of talk about what they're going to do to the track, but when it was played in the Italian Open, yeah, it's a massive ball strikers track. Yeah, your winners were Adrian Meronk, Nicolai Hogar, and Robert McIntyre. You know, aggressive players. You know, good drivers. So it suited, you know, bold drivers. But then, yeah, if they trick it up and, you know, put patches of rough all around the middle of the fairway.
That's very doubtful. I've never seen that. Okay, good. But
to do what they like. I mean, if for example, you said you wanted to talk about it, didn't you? For example, like Europe had like the worst team in the history of the golf, and they were like 50-1 to win. They'd be perfectly within their rights to put like a windmill on each hole and turn it into a farce, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if that'll ever happen in our lifetimes.
When you worked at the crazy golf course, did they have a windmill there?
No, that was a traditional.
Putting green.
Yeah, it still is in operation. It breaks my heart when I drive past it and see how it's fallen into disrepair. Yeah, they don't look after it like I do. I used to give it a watering every night, and it was pristine. But now it's all like tufts of long. It's like putting on every rough sometimes.
Oh really? Oh no!
They shouldn't have let me go. I'd probably still be there now if they hadn't let me go.
You'd have been happy, I reckon, don't you?
A lot less stressed.
Oh well, good. Well, hopefully your tips won't cause you too much stress this week, and they'll play well. And they are
Antoine Rosner, Alexander Bjork, Marcus Kinholt, Ewan Ferguson, and Mark Warren.
Lovely stuff. Oh, how remiss of me. I haven't checked my running order, so I don't know what we've got next week. Can you help me?
Irish Open.
Wow, yeah, where's that this week? This year?
K Club, I believe.
Lovely. I've played there thrice, believe it or not.
Have you? Yeah, I've played there once.
Lovely, isn't it?
I think Rory McIlroy is intending to play in that.
Marvellous. Excellent.
Yeah, he's back to fitness, isn't he? So lots to look forward to, and we will harden our Ryder Cup conversation as the weeks go on, and I know how much you look forward to that golf tournament.
Very much so. Brilliant. Okay, Steve, thank you very much indeed for that. Good luck with your tips this week. Thanks as always to our brilliant producer Will Carey, and most of all, as ever, thank you so much for watching The Sweet Spot. Don't forget, if you enjoy the show, please like, comment, subscribe and share. Let us know who you fancy. Hit that thumbs up button and join us next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot.